You're listening to a
Flawless Noises
Media Network production.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ratchet Ramblings podcast presented to you by Flawless Noises Media. I am one of your hosts. I am Jeremy. My AKA for today is I'm glad I stopped being a fan of Drake when I did. And as usual, I am joined by my friends, plural this time, and my co-host.
What's up, everybody? It's Candace, not so newlywed PC on all social media. My AKA for today is nobody is ever blindsided by a scammer. The only people blindsided by scammers are people whose bank accounts and credit cards and stuff get hit with fraud, but you are not married to somebody and don't know that they're a scammer. And most people, a lot of people actually, do not mind being in proximity to scammers as long as it's beneficial to them. They only ever want to expose scammers when they too get scammed by the scammer.
Good God.
That is when most people have a problem with scammers, is when the tides turn and they're on the receiving end of the scam. And then they want to let everybody know that this person is a scammer. But as long as it has been financially beneficial and open up doors for them, they are okay with being in proximity to a scammer.
Okay, and we see need what to type be of honest time about.
We just need to be honest about that. We need to be honest about that. People love a scammer till they get scammed. That's my AKA. Scamming until you get scammed. Scamming with scammers. Also, I just want to say, are you really a big boss bitch if you pay your rent late on the 15th for every month plus late fees?
Jesus Christ.
I caught a little bit of a stray on that one, friend.
No, I'm talking about the TikTok couple with the lesbian pastor that is also a content creator. And you know the lady that's always sitting in front of the whiteboard with the dry erase markers?
Which one? Because there's several of them.
Yeah, that's why I got
lost. Ray Chandra and her wife, LaChandra. And Ray Chandra came and told the internet that she's divorcing LaChandra because LaChandra is a scammer and got them evicted multiple times. And she's had enough. And it's been, you know, if you get some time, fall down the rabbit hole on TikTok. And then next week, we're going to come back to it. Because y'all are going to be like, girl, what the fuck you knew? But one thing that she said that just stuck out to me was that she pays her rent on her boutique on the first of every month. And then she was sending her wife her half of the rent on the 15th plus late fees. Baby, you paid your rent late every month and was wondering why y'all was getting evicted? You knew that lady was a scammer. And she said that the wife was borrowing thousands of dollars from her friends and her friends never told her. Baby, what type of friends you got? The type that know y'all was scamming together? Because Mike could hit up one of y'all right now like, hey, I need to borrow $500. And I'm going to get two text messages like, hey, friend, is everything okay? Mike just asked me to borrow some money. Y'all good? So, I mean, I'm just saying. Hey, Adrian, glad to have you back.
Hey.
We missed you. It's not the same without you. We try to carry on in your absence, but we are truly glad you are back. To cut up with us.
I'm ready to cut up.
So before we get into Salt Lake City and Love and Marriage Huntsville, Gordon is on a Mia is a terrible person media tour right now. And I just want to say with my whole chest, it will be a cold day in hell before I feel sorry for a sugar daddy who has gone sugarless. Mia was always with you for your money. You were like 20 to 30 years her senior. She was not with you so that y'all could live a youthful life together. She was there for the financial stability. And now that that is gone, she is gone on to find greener pastures or a more sufficient sugar hive.
I just don't understand.
She's a sugar baby. What did you expect from her? And what do you want us to do with that information? She was only with me for the money. Duh.
Not only that, like, yes, like duh, nigga. But not only that, like, nigga, do you, like, Gordon, do you understand that we actually do watch this show? Like, we know Mia is a terrible motherfucker. Like, we don't need you telling us that to understand that Mia is a terrible motherfucker. We see how she interacts with the women. We see how she acted on the show. She's a terrible motherfucker. She was only with you for the money. That don't make her a terrible motherfucker. That just makes you fucking stupid. Like, there's a difference and a correlation in that. Like, you telling us that she was with you only for the money, no shit, you stupid milk dud head ass nigga. Like, you telling us that she is a terrible motherfucker. Motherfucker, we have eyes. We saw the show. We know she a terrible ass bitch. But she was a terrible ass bitch that was only with you because of your money. And now that that is into question, she's moved on. You not providing us with no new information. If you want to provide us with new information, tell us what she was like. Why y'all were together? Like, was she talking shit about the girls? Like, does she have any secrets that she pillow talk to you about the girls that, you know, may come up in a new season or whatever? That's the shit you need to be spilling. Telling us that she was just with you for the money. Nigga, have you seen a mirror? Of course she was with you for the money. Why the fuck else would she be with you?
I mean, you did pluck her from a fucking strip club.
Hello? And no shade to strip clubs and no shade to sex workers, but like, nigga.
Listen. We can be honest, okay, about when people go searching for sex workers and want to have serious relationships with them, they typically are looking for a trophy. This is an even exchange. He wanted a trophy wife in Mia, and Mia wanted financial security. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Okay. Now you willing to feed her to the wolves to anybody who will listen. And newsflash, like Jeremy said, she been a terrible bitch. Boy, you ain't telling us nothing new. You just was blinded by the threesomes. He claims that he gave Mia a pass to fuck other men as long as it didn't go public. She's on a reality TV show. How was it not going to go public? What are we doing here? Leave us alone, child. Quad sat down and did Heavenly's little video podcast thing that she does on YouTube, and Heavenly asked Quad how she felt about them bringing Dr. G back to the show with his new wife, and Quad handled it gracefully. The first thing was she said that one, she recognizes that her castmates had nothing to do with Dr. G and his wife being brought into the fold. Dr. G being brought back with his new wife into the fold. True. And that she doesn't blame them at all because they don't make those type of decisions.
Well, hold on. Put a pin in that, Candace. Push pause. That is very graceful of Quad, and she handled it the way that she should have. I, however, am not Quad, and I am on a podcast with my friends, and I would like to interject. Honestly, to be perfectly goddamn honest, while they don't have that, you know, power and decision, that's production, they might as well have, because I have not forgotten how that motherfucker was very public on both the show and the reunion of Greg being very abusive towards Quad, and you motherfuckers still being friends with that piece of shit.
Yeah, and again, that's their right, and there's nothing we could do about that. But I think the question to Quad was, how does she feel that he's back on this show? She can't control what these people do in their private lives. And Quad was not coming around if they had Dr. G around and vice versa. But I think it's very, very nasty of Andy to bring him back into the fold after it was acknowledged and brought up on the reunion, not even just the cheating, but because Kurt is still on the show and he was cheating on Jackie.
True.
But to bring this man back on the show, knowing there is admitted domestic violence between the two of them.
Yeah.
And then to put the castmates in a position where they have to film or they lose their check and they go into the wedding and this, that, and the third. Like, I'm not saying they wouldn't have gone, because I believe, like you said, Jeremy, some of them are still very much friends with him. But they did put them in a position where they couldn't say no if they wanted to, because it was used as a filming opportunity. And I think that's very nasty work. However, we have to be honest about the type of motherfucker that Andy is, because this is the same show franchise now that is employing Phaedra.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to find a cowardly roundabout way to bring keep her in the mix on Bravo when this lady accused two people of rape.
As a lawyer.
As a lawyer. All because she felt like Candy wasn't being a good friend to her during her divorce from Apollo.
Which, do I say it? Do
I? But Quad says she feels disrespected. She says she was not even given really a heads up. She found out about it after she signed her contract for the new season. And, you know, but she says she's going to take it in stride, get her bag and go.
Which, honestly, that's all she can do. She doesn't have
anything negative to say about Dr. G and his new wife, but she just says she felt disrespected knowing that the world knows the history between Quad and Dr. G and them having such an ugly breakup and divorce. So,
yeah. And honestly, she handled that's all she can do. She handled it again as gracefully and poignant as she could. But it's just another stain on the long history of like Bravo and Andy just being pieces of shit, you know.
And I just feel like if they were going to bring Phaedra back, they should have sent her to the franchise that needs Phaedra the most. They should have sent her ass back to Atlanta.
Right.
Now, granted, to be a real housewife.
Now, granted, that probably would be tricky because I'm pretty sure Candy is adamant at the fact that she will not film with Phaedra, and rightfully so.
And that's okay because Candy is a fucking snooze fest.
Right. Right.
So they honestly don't believe Candy would have quit if they would have been like, Phaedra's coming back.
She just wouldn't film with her.
They would have turned it into a storyline for Candy finally.
Right. And honestly, I feel like they could have worked around. Like, all they needed to do was just like Phaedra. Not have her.
That man said he was gonna blow you the fuck up. Shout out to Lexi.
Shout out to Lexi. But honestly, they could have worked around that. All they had to do was just like not have Candy and Phaedra film with each other until like the reunion, where like unfortunately they would have to be. But other than that, like they could have worked around that.
Absolutely.
Especially because like we know that Bravo and Andy don't have no damn scruples. So like you know, it's an unfortunate it is what it is. But like. Again, Quad handled it, you know, as gracefully as she could have. And again, just continue shame on Bravo and Andy's part for like you for as much as you motherfuckers like, you know, talk shit about, you know, Carlos King or whatever, and like have this, you know, prestige about how you handle things. Y'all motherfuckers ain't no better than WeTV, to be perfectly goddamn honest.
Oh, absolutely not. The people on Bravo shows just make more money.
Basically.
They're not the have-nots of society, like the felons and they finaglers. That's all. But it's the same shit. Lack of scruples, lack of morality, doing what's gonna put the money in your pocket over what seems to be morally right. We support the shit. But again, I'm willing to stand in my bias and say I watch these shows, but that's fucked up, Andy. I'm gonna watch Married to Medicine, but it's fucked up that y'all brought Dr. G back. It's fucked up that Phaedra has still been able to thrive on Bravo while you have been acting like Nene kicked your baby in the back. All because you got called a cokehead and a racist, in which she didn't lie.
Right.
But another story for another time. I just wanted to bring that up. Married to Medicine premieres November 5th. It also premieres with Real Housewives of Potomac. Some other shit is premiering November the 5th, too. I want to say maybe Real Housewives of Miami. It's going to be pretty jam-packed. It's going to be a pretty jam-packed Bravo lineup. So we getting closer and closer to that. Let's get into Salt Lake City. I want to say I only really have two main things that I want to discuss. The first one being, I love that Monica is standing her ground and is all but securing a second season contract. Like, she's going to be returning for season 5 because she stands up to these bitches and she does not let their money intimidate her. She clocked Lisa's ass for being materialistic and weird, and she clocked Angie's ass. And when Whitney tried to get on her talking about, you shouldn't come at your friends like that. And Monica said, if my friend is acting wild and she's being unreasonable and she's out of fucking pocket, I'm going to say something.
And not to add to that fact, Whitney, the fact that you even had the titties to try to say that when knowing how flip-floppy your ass has been since season goddamn one, beloved, I need you to take a whole stadium of seats.
Yeah.
Because, girl, you had a motherfucker who fucked their own, like, grandfather tell you that you fake and phony. I need you to shut the whole hell up.
Yeah. And then you do all this crying about why Meredith doesn't want to be bothered with you. But you are a shit stir, a pot stirring motherfucker. You want to smile in Meredith's face and play nice whole time. You don't fuck with Meredith. And I think that's the thing. Meredith just wants you to be honest, because Meredith is not faking that she do not fuck with Angie, and she's not fucking with Whitney at the moment. And she's very honest about it.
I mean, is that because, like, this is Meredith. Meredith ain't never been shy from the fact that she don't fuck with a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, as overly dramatic at times as Meredith feels, that's the one thing you can give Meredith. When she don't fuck with a motherfucker, she let it be known. Like damn the rest of y'all, her and Lisa have been friends for years. And once Lisa started acting the fuck stupid, Meredith was like, bitch, I don't like you right now.
Yeah.
So at the very least, you can give Meredith that. It's like, if she don't fuck with you, she don't fuck with you. And granted, goddammit, Whitney, you are giving her a reason to not fuck with you, because you being fucking weird and have been for the past two seasons.
Yeah. However, why we here? Because these was the most important parts of the episode. I have a substantial dragging in my spirit for Meredith.
Go ahead.
Because if it is in fact true that you are spreading rumors about Angie's husband, Sean, not only cheating on her, but cheating on her with men, that would make you the hypocrite of all hypocrites, considering your big issue with Jen Shaw was that she was being homophobic and shit like that towards Brooks. So if you are running with and spreading that rumor, you are a fucking hypocrite. And that too is homophobia and biphobia. Nobody deserves to be outed, especially if nobody's safety in life is being endangered.
Right. Like, if you want to talk about a motherfucker cheating, that's one thing. But to bring somebody's sexuality into it, beloved, you was about to fucking fight. Not only Jen, but also Lisa, because Lisa was kind of running with that shit too, being a fake frenemy. Like, the fact that if this is true, and then you the one more shredding that motherfucker, Meredith, we gonna need you to have a whole stadium of seats.
Yeah.
Because you was about to goddamn, and granted, I get it, and I understand, because that was your son. I get it. I totally understand. I don't even have children. I have godchildren. Shout out to Taj and London. I'll fight a motherfucker over them. But if you, Meredith, was spreading that rumor and knowing you was about to go to war over Brooks, beloved.
You're wrong. Extremely and you're wrong. A hypocrite. And your problems with Angie, for somebody who loses their shit when their family is brought and dragged into their chaos from this goddamn show, to be bringing her husband into something when you could just deal with your issues with her head on, really says a lot about your character. And Monica all but confirmed that you have been spreading that rumor. So, yes, I'm looking at you with a very, very big side eye, and somebody who has done all this grandstanding about gay rights.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it is a if, but that if is sitting on like a damn near, like, I would give it about 80. I would give it about an 80.
I absolutely believe Monica, because Monica said it with her chest.
Yeah. And like, yeah, this is
and, with their chest.
And we also have to consider, like, Monica is, again, someone who, you know, was Jen's damn near right hand and has dirt on these women, you know, and has, I would, Candace, because Lord knows, I know Adrian, don't play in the slow. But like, can we say that Monica has kind of replaced Jen? Is that safe to say? Is that fair to say?
I certainly think she has. But she's to me so far, she's a bit more likable.
Yeah. She's like, if Jen was likable.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Like, it's Jen, but likable, but also with the added baggage is that this is someone who, until she got, you know, sent off to the Hokey Pokey, like, Jen, like, had dirt on all these women. told Monica, and Monica was like, bitch, I'm going to turn that into a bag. So the fact that Monica has brought this shit, it gives me about 80%. Because Lord knows Jen could lie. Lord knows Jen could have lied and told Monica any kind of old goddamn thing because, you know, Jen. But I'm about 80% sure that Monica is telling the truth, to which, if, like I said, if that's the case, shame on you, Meredith. Shame on you for all the goddamn crying and carrying on you do about personal and keeping family out of it. The fact that, you know, you are stooping to this, allegedly, is very good. And honestly, it makes the fallout with you and Lisa even more kind of like side eye, because, like, granted, Lisa was wrong as fuck. But if you doing this type of shit where you and Lisa are closer than honestly you think you are, because y'all two birds in a feather, if this is true.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I just feel like it's a lot of audacity to be bringing up anybody's marriage when, again, you had a total fucking meltdown because Lisa said you fucked all of New York. Mm. So, I mean, you're wrong. And if you can't address your issues with Angie head on versus leaning into your bag of homophobic tricks to try to do damage and deliver a pot shot and a low blow, you really need to sit with yourself and assess what the fuck you got going on.
Or just shut the fuck up, because granted, you know, Candace, like, Meredith has never really been the type to, like, have a consistent, like, bag of dragging. Like, she has her moments, don't get me wrong, but, like, generally speaking, she not really that type of person, which is also why she don't really take, you know, that really well, because, like, she is very much a don't fuck with me, I won't fuck with you, but if you fuck with me, I'm not really the best at, like, dishing back what you give me. So the fact that you're not really good at that, you really need to shut the fuck up sometimes, Meredith.
Yeah. So you're wrong. And that's that on that. I can do without seeing another Monica versus Lisa versus your materialistic fight. Lisa is out of touch, period. She's out of touch. She's a typical entitled wealthy white woman who cannot read the room and does not understand a temperature check. There is no reason to keep arguing about it. She feels like the reason she has the wealth she has is because she works hard and not because she's white and privileged, and nothing anybody can say will ever make her feel differently. So please stop arguing with this bitch on our TV screen now. Shit.
Like, you're not gonna convince somebody that they fucking up when they are fully convinced of they not fucking up. Like, yeah, she believes she not fucking up, but we can see the reviews, beloved.
Yeah.
And they ain't looking too goddamn good, I'm gonna tell you that. Yeah. Google is a thing.
It is. Love and Marriage, Huntsville.
There's a lot to digest.
We pick up where the episode left off the week prior, and that is Mel and Marceau sitting down having a conversation. And Marceau is just a big old jealous, wide hip, broad back, big titty bitch. He's just very jealous of Mel, and he's very nasty, very condescending. And as this conversation progressed and he said something that made sense, it let me know that if he really wanted to make his point without being mean and nasty, he could have. And that was that when he said that not necessarily my issue, but he said the thing about your businesses and your success right now, Mel, is that you have attained a platform from doing this show that makes it easy for you to push products to people and be successful. He said the people in these communities who want to talk about business with us do not have access to the platform that you have. And so it is not easy for them to tell them, oh yeah, go start that e-commerce business, it'll do well, because they don't have your platform. To which, that is a valid fucking point. But that is light years different from what you said to Nell and Chris Fletcher about not respecting her little t-shirt business, not respecting what she does and this, that, and the third. You were being mean and nasty. You intended for what you said to get back to Mel. And I just feel like you want to be in Mel's presence in any capacity, whether it's to fuss, fight, or you would probably like to fuck her.
I'm gonna slightly disagree with you, Candace, in the fact that I don't think he intended for it to get back to Mel. I think he said that shit off the cuff, not thinking, which is on par for my soul. And the fact that it got back to Mel and she confronted him, and the fact that he had to clarify or, you know, fix up what he meant or said. Like, I don't think he intended for whatever he said when he was talking to Mel, Nell and her husband, to get back to Mel. But the fact that it did, and she had this meeting with him, he had to clean it up to, you know, what you said, to make it a valid point, which is what he should have said in the beginning. But again, because this stupid bald head bitch don't think, he was like, oh shit.
I think we do a huge disservice by thinking this man is not intentional with how he treats women. He is a misogynist.
No, I agree with
and
that.
And he's a narcissist.
No, I agree with that.
And he is absolutely intentional about things he says. He's even intentional about how he treats his own wife. So I do think he was nasty on purpose. He was even nasty to Nell purposely. He goes out of his way to demean and degrade women.
No,
so
I do agree
think,
with that.
I do think he knew, because again, he and Tisha both said, well, y'all are Mel and Martell's friends. He knew that they was going to run that shit back. I feel like he is constantly trying to piss on the biggest fire hydrant. Like, he so badly wants to be the big dog amongst this group of people, and he doesn't care what he has to say or do to get there. What he said to Mel finally, after Mel was like, check your goddamn self, it's not the same thing he was saying to Nell and Chris, and he knows it. And he even said when he sat down, like, yeah, I knew this was going to get back to you and it was going to be exaggerated. You're just you're an awful person. And that's just, it is what it is. He doesn't have any redeeming qualities to me.
Well, no,
he really doesn't.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. And you're right. He did say that. I think, he, because what he said initially is, well, what he said to Mel is like kind of a quote unquote clean up PG version of what he said to Nell and her husband. I don't think he thought, because I truly think that he thought Nell and her husband was beneath him. So like, they're not going to repeat this shit to Mel, even though he should have known better, because again, like you said, he is meticulous and calculating. I just think like he is so full of his own ego. He just thought that these new people would not relay that to Mel. And then when he got confronted, he had to clean that shit up. Mm-hmm. Because that's his problem. Like, he don't think he, because I mean, shit, even his own brother, Maurice, he said he is a narcissistic asshole. He speaks, he don't give a fuck what he says. And then when he is confronted on what he says, he tries to clean it up and like make it palatable, you know, to try to weasel himself out of, you know, the bullshit he dug himself out of. Like, I just think he speaks without thinking. And then when it comes back to him, he tries to quote unquote clean it up. Same shit when, I mean, not, you know, getting to the meeting they had, but when Courtney pressed him, when Stormy's husband pressed him, like the shit he said to Stormy, now granted, you know, we talked about how Stormy kind of took that shit out of context a little bit, but you know what I'm saying? Like, the attitude he had around Stormy was not the same attitude he had around her husband. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think he just says shit off the cuff, and then when he gets confronted on and pressed on, he tries to clean it up. Because he don't think. Like, he very much is like, for all the criticism he gives Martell, and, you know, kind of rightfully so, but all the criticism he gives Martell about, like, acting without thinking, he does that same shit.
Because if Mel wasn't, quote-unquote, qualified to speak, or they wouldn't want her speaking at the thing, what business does he have that will qualify him?
Talk about
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Talk about it.
Because you're doing, because if you're talking black and chocolate in a bottle, you still would be relying on a push from
social media.
Like Mel.
Yeah.
And there's an art to that, because everybody can't do it.
And
so even if it is just, I started a thing and with my fan base got t-shirts, there's still like an art, and there is a way to do it, because not everybody can do it.
And honestly, even if we go to the town hall, as much of an asshole and idiot as Martell is, Martell truly understands his wife's business acumen and how she is able to do and connect in a way that a lot of people can't. And like he said, would a lot of us be doing the stuff that we're doing if we didn't currently have our platform? The answer is no. Nobody would be buying Black in the Bottle if they weren't on TV. These people on this show would not have the platform that they have. Maybe Stormy, because Canvas was doing something before she was brought on to the show. But as a whole, no, nobody. Well, I'm going to be honest. I think Maurice is a scammer. Anybody who has a credit business and they charge people to fix credit, when a lot of the things that they do is not that you can Google it for free. I think all credit businesses are a scam.
Not Maurice the Marauder.
No, I think credit businesses are a scam because all they do is call credit bureaus and dispute shit on your credit. That's how they improve your credit. They dispute shit on your credit. They dispute stuff with credit card companies. That is literally how people who claim to be credit businesses repair credit. They dispute shit on your credit report. And these companies try to charge thousands of dollars for that, when you can quite literally log into the credit bureau websites and put in your own disputes. But with that said, to me, right, and as we saw, well, first of all, I want to say this. I need Stormy and her husband to get a grip, because this episode to me kind of seemed like they were pressed to be seen.
Trying to teach my soul a lesson.
No, they were pressed to be seen. Y'all have established that y'all don't want to fool with Marceau in a business capacity. Y'all didn't like the way he handled business with the expo. Y'all gripes and complaints have been heard. Y'all came to this quote unquote town hall just to be snarky and argue. And again, I just think it is very nasty, nasty behavior to sit up and call this man all type of bitches, hoes, and he sassy. A woman, he acting like a female, he being sassy, because it is directly tied to homophobia.
When the word asshole is right there.
Yeah, when we can just say what he's disrespectful and he's mean.
Yeah.
Use the words that matter. Because saying that somebody is disrespectful, they are mean, and they spend a lot of time being unkind to the same people that they ask for favors of, it's far harder than, oh, he's sassy, he a bitch.
Yeah.
Start hitting motherfuckers where it hurts with your words. Let people know exactly why you don't fuck with somebody.
Because I'm going to be real. And granted, I guess it's on brand, because most of, if not all of this cast is very tied to patriarchy and, you know, gender roles and things like that. But, like, you're not giving what you think you are. Like, you can call, like, Marceau is a chauvinistic, misogynistic asshole and dickhead, as admitted by his own goddamn brother. Hit him with that. Calling him sassy and calling him, like, you know, he acting like one of the girls or he acting like a woman is that. That is a reflective of what you think of women. Yeah. Like, it's internalized misogyny. Like, just call the nigga a dickhead. Because he is. Like, he absolutely is. Like, he is an asshole. Call the nigga an asshole. Check him on being an asshole. Like, you don't talk to people like this, period. Whether they men, women, children, whatever. Like, stop being a fucking dickhead, you goddamn big dud head ass nigga.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you really didn't serve a purpose being to this meeting, but just, like confirming your own, you know, to your point, Candace, your own, you know, your own hiccups with, you know, gender roles and patriarchy, etc., your own homophobia, etc. Because y'all issue is resolved, or more or less, like, the minute Courtney had that meeting with Marceau, y'all issue was solved, was resolved. Your husband checked him. Now, granted, he also checked him in kind of a lazy way, but still, like, that $100, like, was it really that big of a deal? Not really, but the way Marceau carried on, it was, you know, it was shady. And y'all checked him on that. You really didn't need to say shit in this damn meeting, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be arguing back and forth, I just thought it was stupid and it didn't solve a purpose. Hold up.
Now, granted, y'all know sometimes I watch these on YouTube. Did you peep Tisha's face? How it turned when Mel came in and she said that Marceau apologized and Marceau confirmed it. Did you peep how Tisha's face?
Yeah, because if I'm to be honest, I think that social media, Tisha internalizes social media very badly to the point of it creates insecurities for her. And I think social media has said on more than one occasion that Marceau has a thing for Mel. So I do, while I believe Marceau doesn't mind when Tisha and Mel are not in a good space, I think Tisha is on the same end of that stick. She is okay when Mel has issues with Marceau, because as long as they're not in a good space, she doesn't have to worry about the comments from social media about, oh, he be looking at Mel like a snack, or he just want to be around Mel, and you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think her face was very telling when Mel was like, he did apologize. He did. And so I just, you know, Tisha rubs me the wrong way. But if you want to know who really got on my nerves in this episode, it was Kimmy. Oh. It was Kimmy. You created this whole town hall, and you had a lot to say about the $100 registration fee and so on and so forth. But you sat there quiet, and when people were saying that it wasn't organized, there was a lot of things that could be improved on, and you were acting like you didn't know what the fuck everybody was talking about, and that irked the shit out of me.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was Maurice there?
Yeah, Maurice was there.
Okay. He didn't say much, dude, because I completely forgot he was there.
No, he didn't have a lot to say.
Okay, that's why, because normally he don't know how to shut the fuck up. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, he didn't have a whole lot to say.
But yeah, Kimmy was looking real bad. I agree with that.
Yeah, I was kind of
especially because she spent so much time in the previous episodes, like talking to different people, including Maurice, trying to set this shit up and having why the energy that you had at Tiffany's baby thing? Why was that not the same at this meeting that you orchestrated?
Yeah, that's all I'm asking. Is why you didn't give your 2 cents.
Exactly. Especially considering that you were just the episode prior, you and Maurice had this realization of, hey, maybe Tisha and Marceau wasn't as forthcoming and honest about this shit as they should have been, to the point where Maurice was even calling his own brother like a narcissistic asshole. Like, where was that energy in this now that y'all are face-to-face and at this town hall?
Correct. But in grand fashion, the Fletchers are still doing the Lord's work, because here comes Chris Fletcher to tell Martell what Marceau was saying. And we finally get the background story on how Scope came to be. And it came to be because Marceau and Tisha needed help for Martell and Mel starting Scope. And the plan was that after it got off the ground and running, that the Scotts would buy the Holtz out, but they needed the financial help and the buy-in of the Holtz to get it done. And this is the thing. This is the issue I have with niggas like Marceau. They'll lie till they can't lie no more. And I absolutely, and Martell is a liar, but I absolutely believe that is how it came to be. Cause otherwise, why did y'all need to be in business to begin with? The Holtz had already had a company, Holt and Holt. They didn't need Scope. And so to me, it sounds like they needed the Holtz to help with the buy-in money to get it up and going. And that gave Tisha enough time to try to sell that property she sold, because she owned like some type of apartment building. And with the money she made from selling the apartment building was how she bought Mel and Martell out of Scope.
I mean, it also made sense because if you think about, like, you know, again, like, social media is a powerful tool. Like, don't nobody give, like, you know, no shade, but also shade. Like, don't nobody give a fuck about Marceau and, like, Tisha. But they do give a fuck about Martell and Mel, for better or worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's just a, you know, smart business venture.
Yeah. Before we go, I want to talk about the meeting. Well, the sit down, the conversation with Tiffany and Lewis.
So I've, like I said, sometimes I watch this on YouTube, and I watch this episode on YouTube, and the comments were very interesting. So go ahead, friend. Go ahead.
I would like to tell women that when a man tells you now is not a good time to have a baby, or I don't want to have any more kids, or I don't want to have a child with you, you should start moving in the opposite direction. You should go in the opposite direction. Lewis said on more than one occasion that now wasn't a good time for them to have children. They were already stretched thin as it was, and she ran full steam ahead and got pregnant. And now she feels like it's not enough hours in the day. He's not there, and he a bitch ass nigga too, because if you didn't want to have no kids, if now wasn't the right time to have kids, y'all are too fucking old to not understand contraceptive options. You could have gotten a vasectomy. You could have been wearing a condom. Y'all could have discussed birth control. It took two of y'all to make that baby.
True, true. And this is, thank you, friend, Segway Jones, because I saw a lot of comments. Again, like I said, sometimes I watch this on YouTube. I saw a lot of comments blaming Tiffany, calling her boring, saying that she's being dramatic, etc. And I honestly agree. Like, I'm not going to lie, I honestly agree. But at the same time, some of that blame falls on Lewis too, because like you said, Candace, you could have wore a condom. You could have had contraception. You kind of got a set of a set to me. It takes two of them to make a baby, not just one. So like, I absolutely agree. Like, I'm not here for Tiffany basically trying to guilt trip Lewis and like blame him, because like, you knew that y'all shouldn't have had a baby right now. He told you y'all shouldn't have had a baby. Both of y'all are busy with him, you know, doing coaching, traveling, etc. You doing whatever the fuck you do. Y'all shouldn't have had no goddamn baby right now. So you trying to guilt trip him and like make him seem like he's not present and accounted for and supportive of you. Like, that's tired. Like, we can be honest about that. That's tired. And it's tired because you don't have a storyline outside of that. So you have to pick a fight with your husband who's, to his detriment, been nothing but supportive and backing you, again, to his detriment. But at the same time, like, I'm not like trying to make it seem like Lewis, you know, is a victim, because he could have put his condom on to Candace's point. You could have put your condom on. You could have put your foot down. Like, no, we do not need a baby right now. I'm traveling. I'm working. You doing whatever you're doing. Like, we do not need to have a baby right now. He could have, you know, taken precaution to himself, you know, to not have this baby. But I am also not here for her trying to like guilt trip him and make this his storyline to make it seem like he's not like a president, accounted for, father, husband, partner, etc. Because Tiffany, girl, you knew better. Both of y'all knew better, but you knew the fuck this wasn't the time for y'all to have a goddamn baby. You knew that. So trying to play it off like he's not like, you know, a good partner, like, this is tired. And this is the telltale signs of like, y'all don't have a storyline outside of this. Because any fool like watching this show for any extended period of time could know that Lewis, if anything, Lewis is too present and accounted for, because oftentimes he's taking the brunt of you, Tiffany, being messy and dramatic and et cetera. So like, no, I'm not here for you trying to blame him. But at the same time, Lewis, you need to put your foot down and have an honest conversation of like, we fucked up. We shouldn't have had this baby. Both of us are doing our own thing right now. And like, maybe getting some help, maybe getting some family members, maybe getting an outside partner to like help y'all kind of navigate this shit, because this is stressful for both of y'all. Y'all shouldn't have had a baby right now. But trying to make this seem like Lewis is like dead, trying to make it seem like Lewis is more jizzle, I'm not here for that.
I think he had a baby to slow her down.
Yep.
And now it's hitting him with her slowed down. I mean, I have to pick up that financial
slack.
So
was it though? Problem? Because she was the one pressing him for a baby, not the other way around.
Well, no,
but she was always working.
But he was complaining that she was too busy, and she said, "Well, if I get pregnant, that's the only thing that'll slow me down." And he was even saying, "Well, you're too busy for a baby. We don't need a baby." But he knew a baby would slow her down and sit her down.
Mm-hmm.
Because a man who has nearly adult children, if he don't want no kids, he know what to do not to have no more kids. If Lewis didn't want to get Tiffany pregnant for real, I just want to say they could have like, vasectomies exist. They truly do. Like, it took two to tangle.
Yeah, now I agree with that, but I don't, like, I might disagree with y'all on this. I don't think he meticulously, like, got her pregnant to slow her down.
I don't think it was necessarily a malicious thing, but I think it was something that was in his mind once she said it.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that.
Because
me down is a baby, and boom, okay, I'm going to give you a baby. So I agree, Adrian. What was you about to say after that?
Oh no, just that. Oh, I forgot. Don't worry about it. Must not be for you.
No, I think you was just saying like he weighed his options. And
oh, that's what I was saying. Because I can remember when they had the conversation when she's saying she wanted a baby. He's like, "Well, how are you going to do that? You barely have time for us now." And then she's like, "Well, if I had a baby, I would have to, you know, I would have to essentially slow down." So, yeah, I stand by. He did this in part to slow her down, not realizing the financial strain that might put on things.
But I feel like that applies to her too, though, because she absolutely like jumped into it, like, because she still wants to work, like she still wants to like do the things that she was doing like pre-baby, like not realizing until it hit her, like she needs to sit her ass down too.
Well, two things can be true.
Two things can be true. And the other part is, I don't think she realized how much it would slow her down. Like, I think she felt like, oh yeah, typical, you know, 12 weeks of maternity leave, then I'm back at it again. And it's not that.
Yeah.
And he's not as present.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, yes, she thought it would slow her down, but just temporarily. And I feel like she shows a lot of signs of postpartum depression.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
you know, I mean, my biggest thing is like I definitely agree that it takes two to tango, and I'm not saying he is innocent. I'm just not here for like her trying to drive this storyline of like he's not present and accounted for, and this is all his fault. That's my only.
Oh no! Even with everything else being true, I don't think he's not present and accounted for. I think he's as present as he can be with what their financial situation is.
Yeah.
And I think in her mind, with him being gone so long, since they both have a history of cheating,
right.
I think she's more concerned with that, honestly.
Yeah.
That you out here on the road. She basically said it. I don't like the way my body looks right now. You're out on the road all the time. She's afraid of him cheating, and she has postpartum.
She's basically saying, if I can't give it to you, you gonna have to get it from somewhere else.
That's problematic. Oh, let me not say that.
Oh no, don't stop now.
Right.
No, come on now. Here now.
Y'all ain't shit. I mean, are you really afraid of Lurch cheating on you? I mean,
people cheat. He got a decent job.
Niggas do be cheating, Adrian. You're right. Niggas
love and marriage got groupies.
Love and marriage do got groupies. Look how insecure Tisha is.
Love and groupies. That might be showtime.
Look how insecure she is, and look at how Marceau looks.
So it ain't. I mean,
women is not chasing after them because they're attractive. Oh. They're chasing after them because it's a power play,
right?
Because they see how Martell was treating Arion. Remember, he was paying her bills, putting her up. You know, she had access to him. He's supposed to be working. He's spending the day with her and shit. Like, it is truly not always based on looks. So, you know, I'm just saying. And also, I mean, I don't know what to make of the Kiki situation. I kind of just wish she had not signed on to do this season while she's so kind of knee deep in battling her addiction. She's not doing well.
Right, this is why I didn't want Katie Ross back on Real House of Potomac. Let them handle their addiction stuff. Is Katie
gonna be on the new season?
No. I hope not.
No, she's not.
Okay,
good.
No, she's not. She's not. She's knee deep in her addiction, and if I was to be honest, I think she is expecting a lot from Letitia, considering just how much their relationship had gone to hell. And even in the now, they have not truly reconciled the juxt of their issues, because they're always throwing pot shots at each other. And as we see in the previews for next week, Kiki sits down with Mel and starts regurgitating rumors about who Marceau had an affair with. And let me tell you, if I truly want to work on my relationship with Adrian, then we had a falling out and we promised to do better with each other. If I have an issue with Adrian not showing up for me and she has an issue with me not showing up for her, the last thing I'm about to do is go to somebody who has a very shifty relationship with Adrian and be like, yeah, girl, you know, they saying Adrian man had an affair with so-and-so. Kiki has to know, especially in front of the cameras, you're not going to get the results you're looking for. You want to be at odds with Tisha because she's not showing up for you the way you want her to. And I think it's a bit irrational. Y'all don't trust each other. When you break the bond of trust with somebody, you have to do the work to rebuild it over time. It doesn't happen overnight. So I think Kiki is being a bit unreasonable. I think Tisha is being unreasonable and not being honest that she really doesn't have a desire to rebuild her relationship with Kiki. See, and I just would like her to say that with her chest.
That's where I was going to go, because like, I agree, but at the same time, like, because remember, we dragged Tisha, was it last week or a couple of weeks ago, like, trying to hold, like, her relationship with Kiki as kind of like a trophy. It's like, I tried to do the work, I did the work, like, it's on her, et cetera. And it's like, you don't really like that girl for real, for real. And I need you to be honest in the fact that you don't like her. Like, don't fuck with her and stop trying to use her as a trophy of, like, I helped my cousin is battling with addiction. I did all I could for her, like, she on her own, et cetera, but I try. Like, you don't get hand claps and et cetera for that type of shit. So, like, you don't fuck with her. She obviously is hurt by the fact that you don't fuck with her, hence why she doing all that type of shit. And that's fine, but I need you to be honest and stand up in that shit. Like, don't pick her up when, like, you need, like, brownie points, but, like, you the successful, you know, you the successful, well-adjusted, you know, uppity, et cetera, cousin that is helping out, you know, the less fortunate cousin. Don't try to use her as a goddamn prop. Like, yeah. That's my issue with Tisha in terms of her relationship to Kiki. Like, don't use Kiki as a goddamn prop. She is a human being. She's a flawed human being, but she is a human being. She ain't your goddamn prop to put brownie points on your resume.
Right. Yeah. Yep. I agree. Well, we'll be back next week. Martell and Marcel supposed to be into it. Looking forward to that.
Real quick, this is unrelated. Well, it's kind of related, but who do y'all think will win in like a straight up like fight? Martell or Marcel?
Martell.
I agree. Yeah. Adrian, what you
think? If Marcel can swing them hips good enough, he might be able to get them.
If they having a ballroom dance off doing the rumba, maybe.
I know, but I'd like to.
But Martell go to the gym. Marcel gonna get winded trying to swing them hips like a cyclone. He gonna be breathing hard. His neck gonna be hurting. Back gonna be hurting. But anyways, y'all, be sure to subscribe to Ratchet Ramblings wherever you are listening to your podcast, via Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Google. Be sure to subscribe so when new episodes drop, you can get the new from us before the post hit every Monday. Be sure to subscribe to our Patreon, where you can catch our companion show, Ratchet Reloaded, where we discuss Love After Lockup, Toya and Regine. We discuss Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. We're probably gonna introduce Jocelyn's Cabaret because Adrian said it was worth the watch. Love Basketball Wives is coming back, and we're not putting both of them on the regular feed. We might do a one-on-one split the way we did with the Black Inks. So, you know, treat yourself, don't cheat yourself. We'll be back next week. We glad to have you back, Adrian. We missed you. But yeah, we out, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Peace, niggas.